Isaiah, when those seraphim started worshiping, made temples begin to shake.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And when John caught the revelation in the book of Revelation,
yeah,
all heavens heard me shouting about it. Woo! You say, you're just excited, brother. Well, I don't care. I feel better this way than I did being a cold, formal, backslidden, no good sinner. Uh-huh. Amen. You ain't taking this joy away. Actually, you can. It don't matter what you do anyway. There ain't enough devils in hell to take away what God has given me. An assurance of His presence. Hebrews chapter 4. It's good to have each one here this morning. Hallelujah. I got to double profane the Sabbath today. Got to preach today, as we know. That's what Jesus said, the priests profane the Sabbath when they work on the Sabbath, but also had to get out there and clear some snow off. So it's doubly profaning the Sabbath, I guess. But aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord today? Yeah, amen. It's worth it. Remember next Sunday, Brother Alexander will be preaching for us. The following Sunday after that, Brother Josiah Cornett from Brother Paul Fontaines will be here. So keep that in prayer. Well, let's go right here to Hebrews 4. You there, can you say amen? Appreciate y'all standing for the reading of the Word. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us the gospel preached, as well as unto them. The word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As He said, as I have sworn in my wrath, that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into His rest, he hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from His. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. 1 Peter chapter 5. I know I don't usually say that, but I believe we ought to stand in the reading of the Word. Just everybody here usually does it anyways, so we do it in respect to God's Word. Nothing better to stand up for than Him. 1 Peter 5, and let's just go to verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We're still talking about the original has returned. I'd like to take for a thought this afternoon, resting in the eternal. Resting in the eternal. Let's bow our heads today as we approach His Word, each one respecting God's presence. Do you have a need you'd like to lift up to His throne? Say, Father, I know You hear what's behind my hand in my heart. Thank You, Lord. He said, cast all your care. So let's do that even right now. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for gathering us together. I thank You for each saint, Lord, that was able to get through the weather, Lord, and to make it to the house of God. I pray You honor that faith that brought them to the house of God. The same faith that brings us here, Lord, is the same faith that will resurrect our bodies one day. And we thank You for the promise of God. We thank You that where two or three were gathered together, that You'd be here in the midst. And as we feel in the Spirit that You're already here, the songs have gone forth. We didn't sing as religious as people do. We sang in the Spirit. And I'm so grateful for people that still love You, Father, that still want the Spirit of God. They haven't got too starchy, but they still got soft hearts. And I pray today that every heart here that wants the Word of God, that You'll come and You'll feed it to that soul, that You'll show them things to come, that You'll discern our hearts and give us the things that we have need of, Lord. Not the things we even want, but Lord, You're the only one who knows our hearts. You know exactly what we need. And we pray, Father, You'll give it to us. Heal the sick, Lord, according to Your Word. Save the lost, encourage the discouraged, and just fill the empty to overflowing. Take control of the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit have the preeminence now as we preach the Word. May it enter right into our hearts, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. believing together. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Rest is something that we don't really have in this world anymore. We used to, you know, people had porches for a reason years ago, because they'd go out there and sit and then relax. And they'd just look at the sky for a little while and just, you know, the Christian would spend some time with his Maker, you know, just looking at nature. And you know, sometimes you don't even got to say things, you're just spending time with the Lord. You know, the Bible says that, yeah, I believe David was out and he was musing about the things. Musing means to just to ponder about and to think about. And instead of musing about the things of God, we just amuse ourselves anymore. Do you know what happens when you put the letter A in front of something? It's supposed to mean the opposite. And that's exactly what's happened to this world. They used to be able to think about things. Now they just want to amuse themselves and not think about anything and just constant entertainment, entertainment, entertainment. And they wonder why they don't have rest, because they've created an environment in their life where they constantly have to be entertained. And you have one good entertainment, but my, the second it's over, you need another dose. You know, and in the sports world is the main culprit for this thing. They get, you know, I can't stand it. Somebody wins the championship, and instead of just relishing in that for a little while, what's the next thing they talk about? What's going to happen next year? Who's going to win it next year? Can we take 5 minutes to enjoy what's just happened? And Christian friend, I pray you're not doing the same thing with God. God comes on the scene. He blesses you. He heals you. And instead of giving Him praise, we say, well, that was all right, but surely there's got to be, you know, there's more to it. And there's a right approach to wanting more of God. Amen. But you still should have an appreciative heart for what He has done. Amen. You're never going to get any more until you appreciate what He has already done. Amen. But for the Christian, you know, God promised rest. This wasn't something that He was haphazard about. He knew that when sin came, men would get stressed out. That's why He tried to tell them, don't go the way Cain's doing, building these big places and making machines and all this stuff. You're going to stress yourselves out with all of that. And it looks like it should help us, right? We got washing machines. You think it would help us to have more time to relax. But what does it do? It creates the wrong atmosphere. Everything is push button, 2 seconds, microwave style. And it don't matter what it is. You go, and God help us, but we're creatures of this age, aren't we? We're just at a restaurant here with Brother John, and we are waiting for about 20 minutes, and I began to think, where in the world's the food? Why? We're programmed. Or am I not on? I'm not on. Am I on now? Oh, mercy, and I got to just start all over and get it on the recording. Oh, did I? All right, well, I got a little too excited, but let us therefore fear. Don't worry about God's part of this. God took care of it. God's given us rest. God gave us the Holy Ghost. God went to the cross and died for our sins. God sent Malachi 4 and restored the word. God took care of all of our doubt and confusion. But what is Paul telling us to fear? Fear what you will do with it. What? Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us. What does that mean? You have the ability to take the promise, but you're too afraid to step into it. And you think, well, God understands it's a fearful thing. And no, He doesn't. Why? He's already provided. He didn't give no excuse to those 10 spies who were afraid of those giants. Why? He'd already given the promise. And if they couldn't have the faith in the promise, God was not pleased with them. Because the Bible's very plain, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And because of that, that wasn't just some decision as if not having a ham sandwich or something. That kicked them out. And all that whole generation, because they all tried to follow them. And look, they tried to do it one day late. Those 10 spies, they got the revelation a day late. And they said, you know what? We'll go in there now. And what did God say? No, you ain't. It's too late. The day's gone by. That's the age we're living in right now. We are closing in on the end of this age. I'll wait for that to pass. I feel that distraction spirit. Y'all stay focused now. Amen. See, I don't believe in doing things in the flesh. We either do it in the spirit or we don't do it at all. Amen. Therefore, let us fear, lest the promise being left us. Not just any promise, but every promise. See, that's where the Christian I see falls short. They'll take healing. They'll take, you know, joy on this day and joy on that day. But when the trials get too tough, they just give up on the promise. And they say, forget it. I'll just take matters into my own hands. That's not the Christian approach. We either take it all, we either believe it all, or we might as well quit. God don't accept halfway belief. It's either all belief or it's unbelief. Why? If you don't have complete confidence, you will not act upon it. Amen. And God doesn't want us a halfway believer. He wants us to possess all the land. When God told Joshua to take the land, He didn't say leave them around. He said wipe them out. Every one of them. And now we type that out with our age. Because He said kill the women, children, all of it. Lay it waste. Get rid of this thing. And God help us to do the same. God will give us the faith. And we'll take out, you know, just something that we think's big. And then He'll get down to little details of it. And we'll just let those things stick around our houses. And then wonder why when we wait the test of time, them little children, guess what those little children Amalekites do? They grow up and they become seven times worse than what you had in the first place. When you go to take the victory, take it all. I've caught myself doing this. God forgive me, and I know He has, but you know you could have the victory. But for some reason, you begin to reason. You say, you know what? I kind of like this a little bit. And you just kind of have that little bit you hold on to. It won't be too long. That thing will take over you. You won't be able to hold on to it. It'll take over you. Why? You left off a promise. And you can't enter in anymore. You won't enter into rest. Now, I'm not talking about the predestination of God. I'll get to that here in a minute. I'm talking about day to day living in this rest. Entering into the rest of an eternal rest and staying there. Amen. Now let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I love the way he says that. Should seem to come short of it. Why? Because if you've got the Holy Ghost, which is what Paul was writing to, saints of God, you're not really out of rest. You just make it seem like you are. Why? Because you've decided to listen to the devil. You've decided to go ahead and lust that one extra, come on, that extra look. And then what does it do? The devil attaches himself to that. And he says, look what you are doing. And he starts accusing. And what does he do? He makes you take his path, which will lead you right out of the land of rest. And then you get stressed out. And then you get worried. And then everything, it just bothers you 10 times worse than it did before. And you just wonder, what is wrong with me? And then instead of going back to the Word and listening to the Holy Ghost, we'll go to the doctor and say, why am I stressed out? And he says, you got high blood pressure. That's the problem with you. And then he says, give you this medicine. Take this medicine. And you take it. And you feel a little bit better for a while. But then you get to realize it's not helping. So you go back to the doctor again. Why? You've taken all your faith off the Word of God and put it on some man with a PhD. And as Brother Bam said, the more degrees you stack on a man, the further he's been driven away from God. That's right. See, even my degrees ain't nothing to me. Those go in the trash. I don't care that I got a bachelor's, master's. You know why I got those? So I could have a job. That's it. That's my only thing. Daniel was raised as a king. He had a government office or as one of the princes of the land. But he didn't put no stock in that. He worshiped God. He told others to worship God. He prayed even when they said you're going to die for doing it. So he was just serving where God told him to. But if you began to put in trust in knowledge or in faith in a doctor and all these things, you're going to blow up. Why? You can't stand the pressures. We'll get to that here in a minute. Humble yourselves. This is Peter now. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God that He may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon Him. Let me make sure you understand what he's saying. And we say cast our cares, you know, our worries and our troubles. That's true. We ought to do that. Don't keep those on yourself. Give them to Him. Don't get too proud to God and say, you know what, I can handle this thing. You don't need to worry about it, Jesus. Jesus wants to take care of all of it. Cast, because that's what this means. Not cast just your cares and your worries, all your care. Everything you care about, cast it on Him. Don't keep any care for yourself or anything. Cast it on the Lord. That way He can run it through the blood and get rid of all the black so you don't go making some mistake that you got to turn around and reap for later on. But you keep it holy and pure, even down to what house ought I to buy? What job ought I to take? What car ought I to get? Come on now. Where do I have to go to lunch today? Why? So you might be logically reasoning something, and the Holy Spirit's saying, just go this way. And you don't go for some sandwich now. You hear me? What if there's some soul there? And you're the only one that can ever get to him. Come on now. There ain't no Baptist going to bring somebody to the Holy Ghost. Come on. There ain't no Catholic going to do it. They're just going to take them to a fish fry and get them drunk after it's over. Come on now. That ain't going to get nobody saved. If anything, you're just going to dull his senses to where he'll never get saved. It's up to the bride of Christ to find the rest of this bride. Amen. How do you know that? Who found you? What man did God use to get you back to the Word of God? I'm telling you what, no Baptist. No what? It wasn't no Pentecostal. It was somebody who believed this Word, anointed with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost moved through that person and it began. Why? The Word was catching the Word and bringing it all back. Amen. Humble yourselves. That means don't take no thought of your own. Don't believe anything on your own. Believe the Word of God. Humble yourself under it. Cast all your cares on Him because He cares for you. Amen. Now, God has promised rest, but yet, the sinner ain't got none. There's nothing out there anymore. I don't care how nice a job he's got, how comfortable he looks. They don't go to bed. They can't sleep a full night's sleep. People say they're night owls anymore. No, a lot of times you just on the entertainment wheel. And you just don't know how to get off. And I don't blame them, you know. And God help us because we get in those ruts too. And we start feeding on something and think it's going to be any good and it ain't. You just throw it up later on because you're a Christian. And don't be no eagle trying to get down there and eat with them chickens. It ain't going to go down right. You ain't going to be all swallowed up anyways. So just get off the ground, get up in the air, and go find you some fresh meat. Go listen to a tape. That's right. Go grab you the Bible and read it. Go read you a sermon. Get down on your knees and spend time with God. Amen. So few have it, not because they couldn't have it, it's because they've chosen sin instead. Right. Let me just read you a few scriptures. Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Right. And as much as they try to reason, the world does, that we have this problem because it's Obama's fault. Or it's Israel's fault, or it's Russia, or it's China, or it's this big company bossing everybody around. No, the problem with our nation is sin. And when they've chosen the ways of sin, the Bible's already declared, when you transgress, your way is hard. There's nothing you can do about it. Amen. Why do you think every rich person's about nuts? I already told you about that guy who got famous here not too long ago, and he said, what's the first thing you do about your personal life? He said, I put cameras all around my house. Right. Don't you get jealous of them people either. I don't care if they make $50 million. I'm glad nobody's coming to my house trying to kill me. Right. Amen. Well, the devil is, but let me read you another one here. Hosea 14:9 says, who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. So the same word that helps the Christian to walk his day by day, when the transgressor tries to even get in the word, it just makes him fall. Why? Because it calls out his sins. And since he ain't converted, he'll get an attitude about it. And then since he's got an attitude about it, it'll spread to these other people that he tries to influence. And then if you ain't careful, you'll go off with that little thing too. Take sides with it because he's got some logical approach instead of coming back to the Word that says don't even, you can't even hate, how can you say you love God if you hate your brother? And Jesus took it to another level. I'm not even saying just love your brothers. I'm saying love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. And I found few Christians that are able to do that on a consistent basis. Man, they'll talk about how this guy just did them in and they're going to get them. God help us. We don't need to do any of that. Just commit to the Lord. He'll take care of it. That's right. Look, don't worry about that stuff. I just had a neighbor say something just because my dogs happened to get in their yard for a little bit. And they got dogs 20 times the size of my dogs. And even they let them poop all in their yard and everything. What does it matter if my dog happens to do it? It's only this big. You got a whole pile of stuff out there. And they got a dog probably, what, 3 foot, three and a half feet tall, you know. And But see, and then what does the devil do? He starts getting you on that. And he goes, say this and do this. And I said, what in the world? I don't even care. I'll just keep them out of the yard. I'll just go on with life. You know why? Because we're the same way. You see somebody makes a mistake all the time? You know, and they keep trying to tell you sorry. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You, after a while, you're like, you know what? I don't want you to say sorry no more. I just want you to quit doing it. I don't even talk to you about it. Just stop. And I'll be fine. Maybe that's what the Lord's trying to tell us sometimes. We'll just keep going back. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. How about you just quit doing it then? How about, really, let's break it all down. How about you just quit disbelieving the Word? Don't never disbelieve it. It's always true. And it's so subtle how the devil can get you to doubt the Word of God. He'll use anything. He'll use reasoning. He'll use doubt. He'll use fear. He'll use this age of pressure and tell you that the Word cannot hold you in this trial. You've got to add something to it. You've got to do a deed that you know ain't just exactly right. Tell a little white lie, even though you know everybody does it. Well, you ain't everybody. You a Christian. Amen. And we ain't worried about some quota of some man in government or some police officer. So I'm judged by such a higher standard than that. I want to walk according to God's Word. And if you will make God your absolute judge day to day, you won't have to worry about them men. No, that's right. Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. And he says it again, Isaiah 57:21. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So this age that we live in, the problems that we see, no matter what any man tells you, no matter, and don't you get wrapped up in some political thing about it, has nothing to do with that. What has caused this nation and this entire world to be in the shape it is because of sin. And men have loved sin more than righteousness. And when they chose to walk away from the things of God, they have chosen the hard path. They've chosen to be the devil's children. They've been chosen to be under a taskmaster and really have no room to complain. Why? Because the path of light was laid out right in front of them. Just like Israel, God said, I've sent prophets early before he even asked for them. I was sending them. God sends a prophet 50 years ahead of the time. Why? He was beating it to the punch. How many times you read a quote and said, my goodness, he was right on the dot. Some of y'all were around during the 60s. That stuff's, you're like, what is he? I don't really remember that happening too much back then. Well, now you see it everywhere. He's a prophet. That's right. Prophets tell the future before they get here. So let me read you a few quotes here. Everything I'm quoting today is off Letting Off the Pressure, 62. And if you caught what Dad read today, it's just, I love the Lord. We are living in a neurotic age, nervous tension. Everybody is racing here and going there and going nowhere. That's the big problem. No goal. No reason. Just doing it. It's just that kind of an age. And I know this church, he was preaching somewhere else in Jeffersonville. He says this church would be plagued with it, as everywhere is plagued with it. Tabernacle is plagued with it. Everywhere, the whole world. It's a day of pressure. Hurry, 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 hurry up and wait. Drive 90 miles an hour and then to get home for supper and wait 2 hours till you get ready. That's right, it's a time. And it's that rushing and speeding gets you to a nervous tension. The wife says something a little contrary, you want to fly off, temper. Husband says something, you'll pat your foot, tell him to get in the room. See, well now, husband, I don't want no words with you. Go out there. Wife, oh, I'm so nervous. See, why? What's the matter? See, all this together, this tension building up, then the results of it, doing something wrong and acting out of place. That's right. Now, it'll make the poor act that way. It'll make the middle class act that way. It'll make the rich act that way. It'll make the wrong act that way. It'll make the pretty good act that way. And it'll make the good act that way. Because it's tension, steam, build up. Got to blow it out somewhere, see? You don't, you blow the boiler up. Skipping down a little bit. It's just becoming a neurotic age. Everything is all built up. Haven't got no time. And that builds us up to a place that breaks things up. It causes people to have hard feelings. When they snap them off and say things they don't mean to say. Now, everyone is guilty of it. I'm guilty. You're all guilty. We do those things under pressure that we wouldn't do otherwise. So there's an excess pressure building up. Before I go any further, I might say this. I believe it's the enemy coming down and pressing. I believe it's the devil. So I don't, God has allowed this age to come, but don't say it's God's fault. God sent the way of peace. God sent the light. He sent the life, the truth. He sent everything that would provide for all our needs. He has not failed His word. If you will cast all your care on Him, He will care for you. But when man decides that he's not going to listen to that, that he's going to put his faith in something else. Let me show you this right here. And then the nervous, the same, like I said, same sermon all time. And then the nervous, neurotic age that we're living in. And you know, in all of this, the doctors don't have the answer because they're plagued with it too. Whoo, glory to God. And what's the biggest field anymore is psychological drugs and all this stuff. Why do you think you got all these talk shows and everything? They're trying to fix the one thing. Now, if you got a cold or something, go to the doctor. I got faith for that. If you got a backache, they'll probably help you out. But if you're stressed, oh, don't go to no doctor. You ain't going to find a doctor who ain't stressed. Why? Because you got stress. I got stress. He's got everybody that walks in there stressed. And you ain't never been as stressed as you have as you are at a hospital. Right. Oh, I hate it. I don't know. I even just going there, I'm just, ugh, can't stay in that place anymore. And now I know God's got a use for them, and He's used them to help me, my children, my wife, but I don't put no faith in it. Let me put it like that. My faith's in the anchor of the Word of God, and God can lead me just as He did. I think it was Uzziah or something when He said, you're going to live, and they told him, go get some aloe and things and put it on there. See, I believe that God can do that with a man. But see, if it ain't the Word of the Lord, I ain't doing it. You know, sometimes we put, you know, we'll get a little side, you know, we'll get this little ache, and you know, the devil, it's cancer. Why? That's the age we live in. Oh, you got this little thing here. And you know, some of you older timers here 50 years ago, you don't do nothing. You just taped it off, cut it. You're fine. Just go on. But not in this age. Why? It's pressure. It's confusion. It's doubt. Oh, man, that could be. That should be. That might be. I'm going to look it up on Google. Ooh, that's a symptom of this terrible disease that's killed millions in Africa. And we'll craze the whole nation about Ebola. That's affected two Americans. And completely ignore the flu that's killing millions. And we'll give them a vaccination that doesn't even help. You know, like we read the ad there. Or it was playing. It says, you know, there's no scientific evidence that vaccines cause autism. But my, autism's better than the measles. I don't know if I got any faith in you. Hallelujah. But what is it? It's just tension. It's pressure because they know that they're wrong. It doesn't take a man 2 seconds to realize when he knows he's looking at a woman and he ain't supposed to be, that he's doing something wrong. It don't take a man 2 seconds to realize when he cusses, he ain't supposed to be doing that. And when he's putting down another, you know, beer down, he knows it's wrong. When women sit there and cut their hair and wear low top stuff and tighten on, they know they're doing wrong. But what is it? They've listened so much to the wrong voice. It's become like, well, let me just read this quote and I'll type it out here for a little bit. The doctors, they're plagued with it too. They don't have the answer. They don't know what to do. You say, oh, doctor, I'm just about to blow my head. I don't know what to do. Well, he'd say, I am too. Well, there's nothing you can do. He would give you a tranquilizer. And when that wears off, you're more nervous than you was in the first place. Like a drunk man taking an extra drink to get over his drunkenness, you see. So you can't do it. There's no answer. They don't have it. And don't you go looking for it. I've watched people that claim to even believe this message have so little faith in what it says. What did Brother Branham say got people healed? Was it his gift? Come on now. Was it he discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart? Was he telling them where they lived and everything else? We think that that had some magical power that got them healed. No, that gift was a means to an end, which was to get the people to believe. To where Brother Branham said, you know, he's talking in the middle of his ministry. He would just keep bringing up discernment, discernment, discernment. He'd be so wore out, he couldn't even do nothing no more. And then everybody wants discernment before they even believe. And he said, I've learned that if I just take a few and get the faith to a place and just bring the people right through, because it's the faith that gets them healed. And the same faith, it's the faith, amen. Not a faith, not changes from day to day. I'm talking about resting in the eternal, amen. Something that always was. And when we've been restored to the faith, the same faith that stood with that prophet, amen. It's here now. And when you activate it, it causes the same things to happen. Don't get built up. Don't come under pressure. Don't let some doctor work you up when you got the promise of God laying right before you. Believe God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll tell you things no doctor's ever seen. He'll do things no doctor's ever witnessed before. Why? Because he's proven a point. God likes to show himself mighty in battle. Well, that doesn't work too well if we've got an army of 500 and we're going to go kill one man. God can't really show himself too mighty, can he? Why? We've got too much confidence in us. We've got plenty to win this battle. And every time Israel tried to attack a battle that way, they lost. The only time they won is when they said, "We'll do what you say, Lord." Amen. You went Gideon. He's there and he's got plenty of men. You know, and he's going to take on way more anyways, but God said, "No, it's not quite a good enough miracle for me." And maybe God tells you, lead you now. Look, you better be led. Don't take that medicine, doctor said. I ain't worried about that this time. That ain't every time, but there's times where he does that. Don't put no confidence in that. Come over here. He said, "All right, well, you know, if you're afraid, go home." And he, numbers went down fast. That's why. It's the same thing. The same thing that was there is here times a million, but they had that fear, that pressure. We're going to go to battle. And the second they had an out, whoo, you found out who was a make-believer. Right. He had a few stick around. And then he got down. He said, not quite good enough miracle for me today. So let's go down there and we'll see who laps like a dog or licks it up in the water. 300 men. Yeah. They go against the sea of a sand of people out there. But here's the thing. They did it. I'd rather just trust God's way, look like an idiot, stand out there with a pot, say, "I'm going to fight with a pot." All right, throw it on the ground, but watch the enemy crumble. And if I got to look like an idiot, say, "You know what? I know the doctor, he's a good man, and he told me to do this, but for some reason, faith has stirred in my heart. I know that I don't have this thing anymore. I don't have heart trouble, and I'm not stressed out. I don't need happy pills." You'd be surprised how much that trash gets in the message. It's a disgrace. Just goes to show you didn't believe it in the first place. If you're popping pills to get the victory, you ain't got it. I don't trust no devil to get me the victory. God already did.
Amen.
Woo! How do I know? He gave me his spirit. And he showed me where I live. I don't live in Laodicea. I live in that realm of the blessed.
Amen.
When have I been there? Let me read that in Hebrews 4 again real quick. He says this, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest."
Amen.
"As he said," now here's where he quotes the scripture, it's in Psalms, "as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest." So it looks like we've got to press into something. And there is something down here on earth. Yes, you have to press into it. But he adds a little statement here at the end that I just love. "Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." So when you begin to think that, yeah, you're struggling and you're trying and you're overcoming by the Spirit, just remember, it was done from the foundation of the world. You are merely acting out what God already scribed down. How can you lose? And you can feel it already, can't you? Some of you came in here with pressure. It's starting to leave. Why? Because you're going back to the rest. You're going back to the Word. You're laying that trouble down. You say, "I don't got to worry about that no more."
Right.
And don't let some devil come around and say, "Oh, you just," you know, he'll do the men that way a lot. Say, "Ooh, you're not being careful enough about this. You know, you need to get on it about this and search this out and this out and get all these." No, just get in the Spirit. He'll lead you the right way. That's absolutely right. He'll show you where to be diligent. He'll show you who to talk to. Come on now. He'll show you what decisions to make. He'll lead you right the right way, and it'll be just smooth. So much more smooth than you trying to take the reins. God never asked us to take the reins of our heart. He did that. Let him lead you today. How? Just believe him. Just simply believe him. Don't add nothing to it. Don't take nothing from it. "God, you said you'd provide for all my needs, but I need to seek the kingdom first. And as I act in my faith towards that," men, Get down on your knees and pray and read before you do anything. Come on. That's right, every day. How often? Every day. Even when I'm tired, every day. Don't you take a step without the Lord. Don't try to overcome. His footsteps, his possession, when God tells you to walk there. But what if they would have walked down back toward Egypt? They tried that. They didn't get no possessions heading the wrong way. Footsteps meant possessions when you went into the promised land. Amen. And if you are walking towards the Word, you can get possession. But if you start doubting and fearing and running your own way, you can step all you want to. You're not going to own that. Devil's going to take it. What's causing the pressure then is sin. And why is it getting worse and worse? Because sin is getting worse and worse. It's getting more prevalent. It's getting more acceptable. You know it's true. Things that were vulgar and dirty and disgusting 50 years ago that Brother Branham was blasting against, we don't think it's all that bad anymore. That only cusses a few times. Amen. If that rebuked you, don't listen to that trash. That's all there is to it. You say, well, how am I going to do it? Let off the pressure. When you go ahead and step over that conviction, you are choosing to be under pressure. Why? Because you knew better. Amen. Well, she's not dressed too immoral. And you know what? By today's standard, you got a point. But it's not today's standard. I don't care about that. What's the Word say? Turn your head, brother. Don't look at that trash. Amen. I was just in Walmart the other day, and I was trying to go from one side of the groceries, and you began to go in the women's aisle, and I went... And I literally I wish I could explain it, but went to a place where nothing else was here. I know where that place is. It's heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Amen. And we need to do that for our children. They don't know no different. You got to create an atmosphere for them. They don't have the ability to have faith in that. Like you understand what I'm saying. They don't know what it's all about. They don't know what's evil or good yet. They haven't come to age of accountability. But if you create the right atmosphere, God will keep that away from them. Amen. He made us their stewards. Why? I don't know. I'm sure I can find a better man to raise my kid than me. But that ain't our decision. It ain't us to fuss and stew. Did I marry the right person? Did I got the right kid? Don't worry about none of that. Where are you? All right. Put your feet down. God put you here somehow. I'm going to be as faithful as I can where I am. Amen. I'm reading now. So he couldn't stop nowhere. He was a fugitive. He didn't know what to do. And he was on the run. A very type of today. I think that's what's causing so much pressure. We're on the run. That's the matter with the world. Knowing they're wrong. Knowing the coming of the Lord is at hand and the pressure's building up. And they're on the run. Roadhouse, gambling den, luxury, sin, immoral decay, anything to give vent. Listen to television, dirty jokes, anything. Just give vent. They're on the run. There's something fixing to happen. They know it. And they're drinking themselves to death with pleasures and everything else on the run. They know there's something fixing to happen. The world speaks of it. We know that something's fixing to happen. This world may be blowed up before daylight. Every nation is under tension. That's the way it is today. That if there's something inside the people that lets them know something is fixing to happen. We know it. The Christians know it. The world knows it. The drunkard knows it. The gambler knows it. The businessmen, the governments, the UN, all of them know that something is fixing to happen. It built attention. What is making it worse and worse is the whole world knows this can't go on like this. This is just too much. It would just be like you looking at a boiler and it's getting hotter and hotter and hotter by the second. You begin to see it start expanding a little bit. You say, look, are we going to turn that? No, we're just going to keep going hotter. Well, that's got to blow up soon. Now, you might not know the exact minute. You can't do enough science to get it right down to the exact second. But you know, looking at this thing, it's getting big and red and hot. It's got to blow soon. And I can't imagine what this world looks like in that kind of an analogy. It's just barely holding on. You know, they can read the Bible and they come out with these, they're doing it on every side. You start looking at apocalypse this and, you know, the world ending this and how do you survive when everything's blowed up and all this stuff. It's on every end. They even had one about the rapture. Don't you listen to that. We know what's going to happen in the rapture. When the rapture goes, nobody know nothing about it. It'll make, everything's going to look great right when we go. It's going to look wonderful. You know, there might be catastrophes and things, but government sweeping there will make this big, nice move and everything will look great. What is it? It's the biggest lie the world's ever seen. Because, you know, when they say peace, peace, then sudden destruction. Well, praise God, we'll get on out of here. And they know what things the Bible says. You know, when you go in the book of Revelations and they were looking at Babylon, remember, they were standing there afraid all of a sudden because in an hour it was gone.
Right.
Everything. Their whole, remember, it's not just the physical thing. They put their hopes into this.
Right.
You know, men have slaved. You remember that one guy that we were listening to as a church there at Dad's house? He labored for years to finally get to where, you know, we could bring Catholic and Protestants back together. And he thought he could see it happen. You know, he's dead today. But the point is, they're going to get it to happen. And it's going to look great. And the world's going to come under peace besides that stupid nation Israel. Yet they're going to be the only ones that's even got a chance. Besides some foolish version here and there and there, they're going to be the only nation God's even paying attention to. Yet, they're going to look like the bunch of fools that the world don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me, even in a political standpoint. This place ain't as big as, what, Northwest Ohio? Why is it causing the whole world to go into turmoil? It should show you there's something a little bit more to this than just politics. This is a promise of God. That God will defend them. And the whole world has to come against them. Why? He already said it. And the whole world has to come against this message. We have to be in an age where it's Satan's Eden. Why? Because there's got to be a bride who can overcome it. And until the pressure builds to where it's to its max, the devil could always say, but if I just had one more day, I could have done it. And he's going to be able to say, I let you do anything you wanted. I let you let every devil out. And they still beat you.
Amen.
And when did we do it? Before it ever even got here. Glory to God. Somebody's got to believe that. Amen. And when you believe that, you enter into rest. And when you really got rest, oh my, it brings peace. It brings a joy. Why? I got no troubles. It begins to just make your arms just start going up. Get your legs to limber up a little bit. Why? Because I've got them on solid ground. This is my house and nobody can take it from me.
Amen.
And if you can take your experience and go to that place, it don't matter what the neighbor's doing. It don't matter who's all built up in pressure. I'm not living there. I'm where everything is peaceful and fine. You say there's fire all around me, but it can't touch me.
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm sure the three Hebrew boys had them a good shouting time in the fiery furnace.
Amen.
Why? Fire all around me, but we got a fourth man in here. You go ahead and do it too. You know, you ain't going to offend me none. Go ahead and limber up a little bit. I think sometimes our knees got stuck, just broke right here. No, we need to go ahead and just praise God when He tells us to. Woo! That's right. Don't get no legalistic approach to your worship. Let off the pressure. That's why you're blowing up. You're holding all that worship in too many times. Instead of just going ahead. Glory. Pastor's going crazy. That's all right. Why? Because I feel better this way anyways. You might, if you don't understand, I'm here to tell you you're still under the pressure of Laodicea, but I've been transferred somewhere. I've received the Holy Ghost. He's taken me to a place where all things are good.
That's right.
Where you look on every side and all you see is blessings. Glory to God. Why? God can take a trial and make it a blessing.
Amen.
All you need is the right eyes because it always is anyways. And it's not just any blessing. That trial is worth more than you than precious gold. I mean, you take this. If I had a 50-pound thing of gold here, would take that over a trial. It takes revelation now. You can't just logic this up or just think. You either got to put confidence in this word by a revelation of God or you'll never hold. That's absolute. Because it ain't you holding. That's the point. It's He already did it. And He is doing it, and you can't defeat His purpose.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, now that we got that tension all built up, let's get the pressure all off. How's that? Here we go. He's speaking of when he was talking about the doctors and things. He says, there's no answer. They don't have it, but God has the answer. That's what we want to talk about, to have an answer. God has got the answer. He is the answer. Christ is the answer to every problem we got. Skipping down. Now, if you want to do right, I'm glad tonight to tell you there is a city of refuge. Y'all know that with the Old Testament, you did something wrong, accident wrong, and the pursuer was allowed to come after you, but there was a city you could run to. And if you got there, you could let off the pressure. Right. Why? Because they can't kill you in there.
Right.
Why? Because God knows your heart. He knows you didn't mean to do it. And if you're a man, I just got to read this. There's a city of refuge. That's Jesus Christ. If you don't want to do wrong, can you say amen?
Amen.
Well, you're 90% ahead of anyone else. If you don't want to do wrong, the enemy is after you, then there's a way of escape, and that escape is Jesus Christ. There's a place where you can come and let off the steam. But if you love to sin and you don't want God, then the enemy is going to overtake you somewhere. And that's why God has allowed this to go on as He has, because He knows our hearts and He knows those who put on a good front. Who knew how to read quotes, but they only knew how to quote them. They didn't know how to quote them. Come on now. And what happened is God let the race go on and on and on, because it's worse that he that endures to the end. Not he that gets sprinting out of the gate. He that can endure and finish the race. I don't care how fast you are. You trip up and fall for the finish line, you're last. You say, but what if? I could have. Maybe should have. That don't work that way. Isn't that right? In football, you drop the ball yard short, you don't get a touchdown. You ever seen those fools do that stuff because they're trying to showboat? I remember watching one of them. He's 10 yards in front of everybody else, but he gets before the line. He just drops it a yard early.
Yep.
No touchdown. Why? He was looking at the glamour instead of keeping an eye on what's important. If the ball don't cross the plane, we don't score. Come on now. And if I leave the word, I ain't crossing over.
No, that's right.
People say predestinate, predestinate, predestinate. Well, you're going to have to prove it now. Why? Because we're in that age where either you're in the city of refuge or the overtaker's going to get you eventually.
Right.
Even if you're just spinning circles around the city of refuge, he's eventually going to find you.
Yeah.
Why? Because the devil's smarter than any of us. That's absolutely right. We can't outwit him. No, you can't. Your mind can never do it. It takes the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And you got to identify with you in the Holy Spirit or you're never going to overcome. Mm-mm. He's our only hope. Not just one of the answers. He is the answer.
Amen.
That's it. Because if you have Him, you have all things. Because He is all things.
Yes.
And by Him, all things consist and have their meaning and have their purpose. You want purpose? Come into Christ. He'll show you purpose.
Right.
Don't go listen to the devil. Get you on a rabbit trail. Tell you to get a better career and do this. And then you'll get that and say, well, what is this all for? And then you'll go and you'll be a pro athlete and you'll win the national championship. And then they'll say, well, what about tomorrow? When do I get to be satisfied? Never.
Right.
Woo! But if you come into Christ, it's already satisfaction. Why? The battle's over. You've got a purpose. You've got an eternal purpose, and you can rest in that eternal one. There is a city of refuge. That's right. Let me skip down here. But if you love to sin and you don't want God, then the enemy is going to overtake you somewhere. You can't come to Christ because you don't want to. That's the only reason. And when this man comes to Christ, this place of refuge, when a man come in the Old Testament, the first thing, he had to come upon his own free will. That's right. Pursuers after everyone, but if you're just going to sit there and say, well, he's too fast for me. This sin's just too hard. I'm just going to always have to lust and have a temper. You know, my daddy always had it, and I'm always going to have a problem with this and that. And if that's all the faith you can muster, that thing will overcome you one day. Yes, it will. Don't you identify with that. God help us to not identify with that, because we've got a heavenly Father, and that's who we're to identify with. We don't have to guess what He would do, because He came on earth and became a man and walked in flesh so we could look at that and know exactly what He'd do.
Amen.
And in case you didn't know that Jesus was everything, He sent us another witness in this age. And you can go listen to all 1,200 sermons if you want to see what God would do now. You know what? God would wear a suit. Isn't that right? He'd preach the gospel. He looked like just any other man. He wouldn't be nothing fancy. He'd talk Hank, coat and carry and everything else like Brother Randall says. You know, some of y'all, I don't even know how to talk like that. But I just wish people could go and listen to Jesus and realize there's a reason people doubted. This man? He's not even very tall. He's not even handsome. Come on. He's a poor guy. He ain't very good clothes on. Look at these dirty fishermen he carries around. That's right. Look how he converted people. He didn't even give them nothing. Remember, they're going to go somewhere and he says, "What do you got? Two swords and a stave? Well, that's enough." But see, that's why he kept trying to point him. He said, "I have meat you don't even know about."
Right.
Why? I'm doing the will of my Father. And as long as I walk in the Word, I've got everything. Amen. And you do too. But it's got to be your own free will. That's why when we pray for others, you've got to recognize this. God is moving, but it still is them. You know, you did it too. People, I had a grandma praying for me. She might not have known who I was, but I'm sure she was praying for me. That's right. Some of you had parents praying for you. But you still had to make the decision of your own free will. But that faith that you had that gave you salvation, Brother Branham says, use that faith for your loved ones. That's right, because the same faith will save them too. Amen. Now, you can't save them, but God will save them, and He can do it through you. Amen. God has heard, I think, more faithful prayers of a mother on her knees than any preacher in the pulpit. And I'm a preacher, so I'm okay to say that. Amen. He had to come of his own free will. That's the way you have to come to Christ. Another thing, you must be satisfied while you're there. If you still remember, the Bible says, if you still love the things of the world, the love of the Father's not in you yet. If the Word ain't good enough, you don't like singing songs, you'd rather sing this or watch this or something. God help us. You need to get that out of you. How? Believe His Word. He said, "Cast your care upon me." Lord, I care about this. Why? I know in my heart I don't want to do it, but I keep finding myself doing this. Lord, I'm casting this on you in faith. You said you'd take it away from me.
Amen.
And I'm believing you. Now, don't be a big sissy about it. He comes and delivers you. Then don't listen to the thing no more. Christians ain't got no backbones no more. They put a bit of temptation and think that God understands them backsliding. No. He sent the temptation to try to prove to you that He did deliver you. And you just gave right on in and you're back in the same mess you always were. Actually, you'd be seven times worse. Quit doing that. We're in an age right now where that's just rampant. Bunch of no backbone at all Christianity. God's just going to do it all or ain't going to do it at all. That's right, but He uses you. And He puts something in you that finished the work from the foundation of the world. And it's so easy if you just believe to walk in it. Amen. Don't try to do something else. Believe His Word and be satisfied with His Word. Don't let something else tickle your fancy. Don't let something else take your heart. It's just like us men. You know, if a pretty girl go by, my, how the devil tell you what great things you'll have. But God have mercy you ever act on that. Why? He'll tear your family up. He'll tear you up. And who knows, that girl might have another boyfriend around and you might be dead someday. You remember that happened to a Christian? Or he would have been later on. You all know what I'm talking about. Come on now. What's that whole family talks about? That? Jehovah's Witnesses. Brother Branham. He was witnessing to him in one, huh? Woods. Brother Woods. That's right. And he said, he told him his name and a few things. And he said, you know, he thought his brother that was already converted had told Brother Branham. And Brother Branham said, "Well, that's all fine, but there's something else. You was with a brown-haired woman, too, the other night. And you're married to a blonde-haired woman. And you're lucky you didn't come out because that man was going to shoot you. You'd be dead today." That's when he said, "Okay, nobody knows about that." And we think, oh, man, a man that would do that, he ain't got a chance. That man got the Holy Ghost. As we talked about David, a man after God's own heart, sitting there, murder, lied, everything else. What? See, you can't base it on that. Go off the Word of God. But when he came into Christ, just get nice and satisfied. Just put your feet down. Just let it soak into you. Because why? If you start feeding on things of the world, you're acquiring a taste. And it's contrary to what's really good for you, but you'll acquire the taste. Amen. You'll train, and they do it in the physical. You train your body to like certain things when you do that, even if it's not good for you. Amen. You know why? Look at the things we eat and drink. If our body was allowed to act natural, it'd spew that stuff out. But what have we done? We've trained it to like the wrong things. Now, natural, whatever. I don't care about that too much. But the spiritual, so much more. Don't acquire taste for things of the world. It'll just destroy you down the road. Amen. You got to be satisfied. You can't hang around every day crying, "I'd like to get out of here." That city of refuge now, "I'd like to get out of here." They'd put you out. And Christ will do that too. People think that a preacher got mad at them one day and that's why they don't believe the message no more. No. You wanted out the whole time. And God anointed that man with His Spirit. That's the same one that said in Jesus, what are you going to say? When I say, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Brother Branham said he was shaking the parasites off. And he got down to 70. You know, most of us said, all right. He's on the brakes a little bit. Jesus didn't. It was time for the Word. And he said, all right, that's fine. How about you preachers come here for a minute, all 70 of you. What are you going to say when the Son of Man comes down from the right hand of the Father where He came from? He said, too much for our doctrine. We believe Trinity. Don't give us none of that Jesus name stuff. I can't handle it. Don't you say William Branham behind the pulpit. You know, God don't send prophets like that anymore. Ooh, glory. But see, it's time for the Word. And there's been a God in this age, and it ain't just me, but I want to be one of them. Amen. That's going to stand for this Word no matter what. Right. And if I'm only preaching to four walls, that's fine. Let me stay on the Word. Why? Because I can rest. Amen. If I know I'm on the Word. I don't need anyone else. I can rest. I can rest like Daniel, knowing they signed a bill for me to be dead, open up my windows, and just keep on praying. Why? Because I've already entered into rest. Amen. They can throw me in every lion's den you want to. I'm going to go to a place where lions lay down next to me and I pet them. So if I'm already there, that means I can bring that here now because I'm a mini creator. And I believe that's what happened down there. It just created the atmosphere that Daniel was in the millennium. And it created it right there. Did it, Brother Brandon, when that bull was going to come after him. Said, just go lay down. Said it when a bunch of hornets would have stung him to death. Just go back in there. I was sorry. Hallelujah. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, let me say it like most people think, are just in there. Oh, glory. Now you're getting some revelation, I think. The righteous run into it. Amen. And is safe. Yes. Let me make sure you understand this. Not are saved. We sing it like that a lot of times. And I believe we're saved anyways. But we and is safe. Is. Present tense. Safe. That means once you're in, tomorrow you're still safe. You're not just saved from yesterday. You're saved today. You're safe. You can rest. But you got to run in. And oh, if I could say anything from the housetop, it's get into Christ. Don't base your rest that you sit in these pews and it's a message church. We've brought many souls that come and do that, haven't we? But they never get into Christ and they don't have rest tonight. God comes on the scene, and I know it's frustrating us, isn't it? Bring somebody in, God comes on the scene, He heals them right there, He speaks right down their life, and then they just go on like nothing else. Well, what else can you do? If the Word can't do it, you and I can.
That's right.
Let me read your quote as I'll finish up here. I got a whole bunch about rest, and let me just read you this one. Well, you say, I'm so worried, Brother Branham. I just don't know. Let off the pressure. Amen. In the city of refuge, He took your worry so you don't have to have it. Cast your cares on Him, for He careth for you. Don't you worry about your cares. That's His business. I met a woman here some years ago in a 10-cent store. She was about 60 years old, looked about 30 years old. I said, how do you do it, sister? She said, Brother Branham, I've got two sons that's doctors that's older than you are. And honest to goodness, she didn't look over 30 years old. She said, here's what it is. Here's what it was. When I come to Christ, when I was about 12 years old, I sat down and thought about it. You know, I mused in my heart, as David said. I thought about it. I studied over religions. But when I found the true one, she said, I come to Christ. And I took my case, my soul, my all to Him. And she said, I've never had a worry since. Said, now, He promised to take care of all my troubles and said, if He's not big enough to do it, I know I'm not big enough to do it. So what's the use of me worrying about it? See, that's it. Christ promised that He'd take all your cares. Cast your cares on Him. So what you worried about, worry builds up pressure. Pressure blows up. So just cast your cares on Him and quit worrying. All right. Now, well, you say, How I do it? Just trust His promise. We're going to have to put a cage on that light, I'll tell you what. No matter what takes place, Christ is our refuge. And when we come to Him, we can let off the pressure. You can quit worrying about, well, if I die, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to the wife? What's going to happen to the husband? What's going to happen to the children? And the world's all built up with that pressure. That's why they're trying to suck down every type of life insurance down your throat every time you talk to insurance man. What about it? What about this? This happened. Well, in about 2 days, our money could be worth nothing anyway, so what's that $50,000 anyway? And all they do is take all your money from you, and then they find some clause why they can't give it back. I don't put no faith in insurance. I put faith in assurance. Amen. In our God who hasn't failed. Amen. Just come to Christ and let off the pressure. All. He give us all things. All things are ours by Christ. So just let the pressure off. The only way you can do it. Somebody might give you $1 million. It would build up pressure. And we think it'd let it off. No, it won't. Because now, look at this, as a Christian, more so than the sinner, because you're responsible for everything you do with that $1 million. Like I said, there's rich men that are saved, but it's few and far in between because there's very few men with that kind of character to be able to handle that kind of money. It would build up pressure. You might join a church, and it would still build up pressure. Because the Methodists will tell you they're right, and the Baptist is wrong, and the Baptists say they're wrong, and we're right. And so it just builds up more pressure because you don't know where you're standing. But if you ever come to Christ, you can let off the pressure because it's all over then. Just settle it down. It's God's provided place of safety where God said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. In the time of sickness, when sickness strikes, and the doctor says there's nothing else I can do about it, don't build up pressure.
Amen.
Let off the pressure. Call your pastor. Let him anoint you in oil and pray over you. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Let off the pressure. See? He's our refuge. While you're in the refuge, you got a right to anything that's in the refuge. And Christ is our refuge. And everything you have need of is in Him. Amen. And sickness, don't build up pressure. Let off pressure. You say, well, I wonder, Brother Branham. You don't wonder. You just let off the pressure. Commit your case to God and go on as if it was all over. Don't build up pressure. It lets off pressure. And we catch ourselves in this age of figuring everything out, and it ain't true until it's true. And what color is this dress according to science? Anybody saw that bunch of nonsense? What a waste of time. If you don't know, you're blessed, because that was the stupidest thing I ever had to listen to at school the other day. But don't build up pressure. Don't worry about this or that. Don't even wonder. Accept the Word. Well, I don't know how we're going to have a bride without spot or wrinkle. I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. I don't know if I got the right job. We just worry, worry, wonder, wonder, worry, worry, wonder, wonder. And guess what you end up doing? Nothing. And you sit on your couch and just stew and build up pressure. And you don't witness nobody. You're too afraid to witness because you might do it wrong. I'd much rather witness wrong than not witness at all. Isn't that right? I'd rather try to love God and mess it up than to not love at all. Come on now, wouldn't you wives rather have your husband try to buy you something you like and mess it all up instead of just sitting there looking at TV watching football all day? Woo, glory. Buy the wrong chocolate. You hate caramel, but it don't matter, right? Because he tried. He tried to show his love to it. Thought you liked roses, but you really liked tulips and messed that all up. But you'd rather see an effort than nothing at all. And I believe that's where we're at right now. Brother Branham, even in the same message I was just reading, he says right now, as far as the leading to go anywhere, he said, I can't say I have any, but I got to sow the word somewhere. I can't just sit around and do nothing. That's how we let off the pressure, acting in the word. I didn't say we'd just sit around and do nothing. If you rest in the eternal, you'll rest in what the word says do, which is what Joshua and Caleb were able to do. They still pulled up swords. They still had spears, but they could let off the pressure because they knew every time they swung it, they ain't going to get hit. Could you imagine? Let's bring it today where we're fighting with guns and you're out there by yourself with one gun. You can give it any gun you want and you're going against a whole army. And you know, by faith, every bullet will miss you. That's just as ridiculous as what Joshua and Caleb were thinking. But look, Faith in the Word brings you to that reality that the Word is true. And if we can bring that to our day, let him shoot the fire. Let the devil bring every trial. Let him tell me he's going to kill me or kill my wife or kill my children or give me cancer and do all this stuff. It can't hit me. Because even if it hits your flesh, look now, that ain't you anyhow. He's already done this. Because what he's trying to hit is already sealed off. And once we get to walk in that revelation, that's what we keep. It's here. This has come back. This is what they had as the apostles. Come on. I'm apostolic because I believe the apostles. I'm not no denomination. I believe what the apostle says. And he said, before the foundation of the world, we were the sons of God. And God has sent forth his Spirit as a witness to show who we were. And as they tried to take it away and make it some church, we joined church, we got pressure. Come on. They told us it was this doctrine. And we tried to walk in that. We built pressure. And we went to a message church. And they told me if I just grow my hair and wear skirts, I wouldn't have any pressure. And I'm still under pressure. But one day, the Holy Spirit began to tell me, hell, you just need me. You just need me. And all of a sudden, a revelation in your heart began to move. And says, I need to get baptized. Glory. I need to repent of my sins. I need to take on His name. I need to run into that name. And when you're baptized, you die in that name so you can resurrect in that name. The name of the Lord is the strong tower. We don't need anything else. And we don't even have to guess. We don't have to call Him Jehovah, Elohim, all His titles. We know His name.
That's right.
When David swung that, he was swinging a word of promise. I'm coming to you in the name of the God of Israel. But the Lord's just, you know, it's just Lord or God. It's just a generic title. But we have the name.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And just as David could take that one sling, he wasn't a bit afraid.
Right.
Why? He was resting in the eternal. Remember we talked about it. He already had the word that came from God. He's going to be king. So, and he's already whipped a lion and a bear anyways. What's this man going to do to me? I don't care if he's 9 feet tall. It doesn't matter. What do you got, David? A sling. A piece of leather. Just a little bit of faith. Come on. And what else you got? A little revelation God gave me that I'm going to be healed today. What are you going to do? I'm just going to hit him right in the face. You're going to hit him. I don't know. You sure it's going to get through that armor? It don't matter. I ain't trying to throw it anyways. I'll just let him do it. And people want to know the signs behind it. How did you twist the wrist just that way? How does that preacher pray just that way? And once he says this certain thing, then so see, you base it on some stupid experience like that, and it ain't a bit of word to it. And God might have winked at it for one time and answered you there. But then you go building some doctrine off it, and that's where you get two souls out of things. Okay? We need to just come back and base it on the Word. David said, I don't know what you boys talking about. They're sitting there showing him the charts. And David, here's how you did it. You threw it at this angle and at this speed and it hit right in the right spot. And he says, I don't have a clue what you're talking about. I did it because I said, I'm coming in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And God told me to take him out.
Right.
How? All the way back at Abraham. He said, thy seed shall possess the gates of the enemy. So he said, fine. There's an enemy and I'm taking his gates. Hit him right in the face. And he wasn't even satisfied. God help us to not be satisfied either. Why? He might have still been breathing a little bit on the ground. But he said, no, we ain't doing that. He said, I ain't got no sword. What am I going to do? Take that doubt and say the same thing he did, just use it against him. I'm not a sinner. You are. I'm not going to hell. You are. Come on. Look, the devil's not smart when it comes to that. He's tried the same things over and over and over again, and they always lose to the Word. So don't try to come up with a new battle strategy. It works. They tied up Samson and said, oh, he can't get out of this, and he just broke right out of it. And he said, oh, man, the gate's locked. And he didn't sit there and wonder, how am I going to get a key, and where's the doctor to get me out of this sickness? He just said, wait a minute. He said, pick up the gates, right? Put them on his shoulders and just start. Man, that's a mighty big mountain. Just walk right up and put them down. That's how the devil will try to tell you, ooh, it's just two big gates. Oh, and then you'll pick them up and say, ooh, it's just too long a walk. Road to recovery. And then what if he'd got halfway and say, you know what, I am a little tired. And then his faith waned. You know, faith is what kept that thing up. And that's one thing. That's why I believe Samson is in Hebrews 11. He made some mistakes. He did some wrong, but you tell me a man with that kind of faith. You want to look down 1,000 Philistines in the eye and say, hey, there's a bone. I got this. And whip them all to the point where you're... And he was tired. I would have been too. I can't even think of doing this 1,000 times, much less jumping around and hitting people. And he got so tired, he says, I'm going to die out here. But his faith, what did he do? He just threw it on the ground, and God gave him the word, and water came out of it. He had gates in the way, picked them up, and threw them on top of a mountain. He had his own people turn against him and tie him up on a mountain. And he says, don't turn on me yourselves. He didn't get all worked up like we did when some Christians got something bad to say about you and you go and tell everybody else. He just stayed right in the promised word. Well, I guess if God ordained me to stand alone, I'll just stand alone today. But he didn't lose any faith, did he? He just broke right out of that, went whipping Philistines again. What got to Samson? What made him lose? What made him not rest anymore and be out in the stocks and the gallows blinded? The second he left the Word of God. And Christian friend, as I close here, I'm sorry I kept you that long, went a little bit longer than normal. You feeding on the Word of God today?
Yes,
don't let the devil tell you that you just sinned too much or you just did this or that. You're going to make mistakes. That's fine. The point is to learn and to always retreat to the Word. If you just keep going right back, you've got to find something. Because chances are you don't need deliverance. You need a real repentance. Because you haven't really felt sorry to where God could deliver you yet. God wants you delivered. He don't want you bound up. He wants you free from sin. And the only way, I'm not saying the devil can't come after you. He did it to Job. He wouldn't want to do nothing wrong. I'm not saying trials are going to come. But the only way to lose your rest in the midst of those trials is to just leave the Word willingly. Because even if you're in the name of the Lord, you're in a strong tower. And they can shoot all the bombs they want, all the arrows, all the fire. It's a strong tower. And it can't do nothing. But those same arrows and those same bombs, if you step out and try to say, I'll do this on my own, you'll feel the wrath of it. That's why God swore in His wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Because He was frustrated with Israel. Haven't you lost enough battles on your own? Haven't you seen the results of sin time and time again? And I wonder how many times He says that to us. And you're still doing that? Come into my rest. He doesn't want to kill you. You can't. You're a son. Just as much as He was mad at Sarah for laughing, couldn't kill her. Part of Abraham. He couldn't get rid of Christ. That was him, you know. And every part in Him, which is what we are, He accepted it already. When God gave us the Holy Ghost, He witnessed to that. Live in that rest. Don't be tempted with things of the world. There is no rest on this world. I'm going on for a reason. Don't close out on me now. When we think of, and I'm sure you do this too. Man, when I finally get that paid off and that taken care of and that, I'll just sit back. Oh, finally. And then when you get about halfway there, you've got 5 more things on the list again. See, the thing of it is to quit making those lists. And make lists of what's to come.
Yeah.
When I get over there, I'm going to sing Amazing Grace at least 1,000,000 times. Yeah. And then after that, I'm going to go, you know, hang out with Brother Brandon for a little while. And we think that's foolish, but that's real.
Yeah.
Place where we don't worry about tomorrow. You know, I just see that picture over there of that garden. Just walking. Can you see that?
Yeah.
It's not just some white cloud somewhere we just float around bored. It's a place.
Yeah.
And that place is here. As a down payment. And when we get healed, that's where it's coming from. It's God's grace to us. And we ought to rest more than we ever have before. If you get your eyes on the things of the world, you're forfeiting your rest. But how many wants to just do that with dedicate your heart back to Lord? Not to look at what things that I know moss and rust and everything. This house is going to blow up anyways. Get my mind and heart on You. Let's stand together and let's just worship Him a little bit in your own way. Thank You, Lord. Just put your mind on, just take your heart and cast all your cares on Him today. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord. He's all I need, 3:15. It's key of C, Dad. Let's just worship Him now. Thank You, Lord. It's in the Spirit and in truth. Thank You, Jesus. Live in that truth of peace. and that rest and that joy that Christ has given us. Go ahead, Dad.
He's all I need. He is all I need. Oh, Jesus is all I need.
Just jump right into Christ. Stay in that Holies of Holies today.
He is all.
You've got worry. You've got doubt, fear. Put it in Him now.
He is all I need. Jesus is all I need.
Let's worship Him. Still pursuing. He can't get you now. He can pursue all he wants to. He's going to come to a gate that he can't open. Hallelujah. He can't get in your heart no more once you've been sealed with the Holy Ghost. He can't get in there. But I do want to ask, Christian friend, if you don't know whether you've got it, if you don't see yourself in that place of refuge, you've got doubts and fears about it, say, you need a repentance today. Thank you, Lord. Now, that you got to do it your own free will. You find in your heart something ain't satisfied being in Christ. You got to find where that got in. Because that's not in the city of refuge. That's something that the devil's trying to put down your throat. Hallelujah. I'm not even asking for a deliverance. If you need a repentance, you need to do that today. You talk it over with Him until it's gone. God bless you, brother, sister. Lord knows. Thank you, Lord. Don't leave here convicted. He convicted you so you could get that out of you. So take your faith that got you saved, which I believe I'm in a group of people that has, and you crucify that thing. So Satan, you've done me in time and time again on that, but I ain't accepting. I'm in the city of refuge. I'm taking refuge in the Word, and I'm a son of God. And all the love of the world's been purged out of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, in His presence now, you to come forward now. Offer a word of prayer with you. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone else? Whatever you have need of, don't be ashamed. The Lord knows. Keep that atmosphere. Now don't come down from it. You stay up there. Don't let the pressure build back up. You almost feel that again. You need to cast that out of your experience. God don't want no pressure in your experience. He wants you at peace. He don't want you worried about tomorrow, what's going to happen, somebody's going to die. Get that all out of your theology. If God allows something to happen, He allowed it. He knew about it for the foundation of the world. There ain't nothing out of Caden. There ain't no point in you and me worrying about it. Amen. Now let's raise in that faith. We've got loved ones up here because I know we all love each other here. Thank you, Jesus. It's got needs. We're going to pray for each one. Pray there for them as well.
Fill that void with more of your presence. Lead and guide him into all truth. How to lead his family. How to lead himself in the spirit. Lord, grant it, Father. Trust it to you, Lord. You're a faithful God. I thank you for your sincerity. Grant to my brother.
For blessing and praise. Jesus Christ.
Hearts, we close our eyes and worship.
Shut in with God in a sea.
Just where it's you and Him.
Shut in with God.
Just take a moment to thank Him and praise Him. Oh, hallelujah. We worship You, Lord. We lift You up, Jesus. Thank You so much for rest today. Taking the pressure off, Father. Thank You for the Holy Ghost and fire. Glory to God. Just all just worship. Each one, just worship. Don't worry about anything else. Just praise His holy name.
Thank You, blessed God.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You, blessed Lord Jesus.
Thank You, Jesus. Glory to the name of the Lord Jesus.
That's why we came today, was to worship our God.
Thank You, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Praise Thy name. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah in the highest.
Thank You, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Praise Thy name, Jesus. Glory, glory, Jesus.
Lord, I appreciate You, Lord. I praise You.
How I love You, Lord Jesus.
Thank You, Father.
Thank You, Lord Jesus.
Thank You, Lord.
Praise Thy name, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. There's no other needs today. Be encouraged, Christian. Stay in that rest. Stay in that place with God. Hallelujah. Don't you leave it for nothing. Don't let the devil give you some temptation of this world to just destroy you. Stay in this word. It's not too much longer. We'll be home, church. Christ will come take us. We'll get out of all this mess that we're in. Hallelujah. Put every effort, put every part of your heart into this gospel. Say, Lord, here am I. Send me. God bless you today. It's been good to be in His house, see His Spirit working in our lives, just taking all that pressure off. You that came asking for things, don't get built up again. Don't let the devil lie. It's settled. It's settled. Don't even take the burden back. Christ don't want it back. He said, I'll do it. I'll take care of it. He had the weight of the whole world on Him, and He did it willingly. It weighed Him down there at the Garden of Gethsemane. But on the third day when He rose again, He said, I've conquered it all. Glory to God. And when He rose again, we rose with Him over everything the enemy had. That's why God wasn't afraid to put you in Laodicea and let out 200 million demons after you. They knew you already whipped them once, you'd do it again. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Just rise in victory, Christian. If you got something to praise Him for, go ahead today. If He delivered you, if He set you free, go ahead and thank Him. No hide in the corner. Let your light shine before man. I appreciate my God. I thank Him for delivering me. I thank Him for the Holy Ghost. He gave me a voice. I ain't afraid to use it to praise Him with it. Glory to God. Oh, praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, there's victory in the camp today. The devil's been exposed. He's got no strongholds. We're in a mighty tower and He can't do nothing about it. Praise You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Just go ahead,
Dan. Thank You, Lord. I'm just going to let You worship and praise as You feel led to. Just stay in that Shekinah glory. Stay right there with Him. Don't drop out of there. Stay right in that presence. Take it with you. Live in it. It's yours. It's your possession. Don't let the devil snatch anything from you.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God to Thee. How great Thou art.
Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah.
How great Thou art. Sing my
pray till tomorrow.
The birds
to stay in that place.
Say sweet.
It's a reality to the Christian.
The tree.
Thank you, Jesus.
When I look down.
Thank you, Lord.
From lofty mountains glamour.
Let it break forth upon you. Show you the truth.
And
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And oh, feel the gentle breeze.
Sing it with all your soul now.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee.
What a time, what a presence.
How great thou art.
This is that Shekinah glory. Don't let the devil tell you something else.
How great.
This has everything
thou
you have need of. Spirit, don't be afraid of the Spirit. Just jump right on in. He tells you to speak in tongues.